even know them.
Now, lots of people have arthritis. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, with instant illumination. Lots of people have arthritis. Herb, don't go laughing like that. One day you might experience that too. We all experience it. We all experience it. We all experience lots of little things that come into our life, and then we say, oh, and immediately we run to our medicine chest, or we run to our textbooks to tell us all about how to cure it. We go to the internet, we go on to all these things to figure out what's going on. Oh, I've got an ache in my foot, that must be a papashupaka. And a papashupaka can only be healed by a papashupaka, it's anti-papashupaka. And that's about as silly as it can get, you know. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? When you have a pain, what does it say to you? It says to you, clean up your stinking thinking. It doesn't really say that. It says it much nicer. It says, think beautiful thoughts and you'll have beautiful feelings in your body. Right?
Yes.
Think beautiful thoughts and you'll have beautiful feelings in your body. Now, people have come to me and have told me any number of times that they have this or that or the other thing or arthritis. And then they say, but it hurts. And I say, well, say, I'm holding perfect, I'm holding perfect, I'm holding perfect. They say, well, I did it, but it came back. I said, then say, I'm holding perfect, I'm holding perfect. It did it, but I came back. And this, you know, goes on for days and sometimes weeks. And I say, well, you must really like it. You must really think that it's pretty nice. It reminds me of my mother, who was a very gentle lady, and she didn't have a lot of rules, but she had a couple of simple rules. And this was back in the days when sex was still a little more respected. And it was something you do when you get married. It was something you do when you have preparation for a family and so forth. And, of course, that was just back in the 20s and the 30s, you know, and a lot has happened since then. But, and it probably happened before then, too, but it wasn't in our family. And so, my sisters were of the marrying age, and they wanted to bring their boyfriends home and have them, you know, part of the family, get the family to know them, and they know the boyfriends. And then, sometimes it was late at night, and the boyfriend would want to stay overnight, you know. And mother would say, nope. When you're married, that's fine. Before you're married, nope. And, I mean, they were going to sleep in a different room. They were going to sleep. That's just the point. It's a concept of sleeping at my house. And then the boyfriend might mention it to somebody else. I slept at their house, you know. You know, right away they think you're having sex and so forth. And you weren't. Mother had the subtlety to know that it just was something you didn't allow. And she didn't give any reasons for it. She didn't give any, well, that's what people think. Well, I don't care what people think, you know. Oh, yes, you do. You do very much. If you don't, I do for you. I care for you. Because people are very, very interesting. People are brought up in a culture. People are brought up in a religion, in a philosophy. And they may not have liked it, you know. They may not have paid much attention, but they went to church and, for instance, the Christians, and they learned about Jesus, and they learned about the stories of Jesus, they learned about the stories from the Bible, and they learned about the rules and the Ten Commandments and all these other good things, you know, and they learned these things, and these are in the back of their head, if not the front of their head. It's all over. And then when they go out and they try to do something contrary to what they learned, they're in trouble. They're really in trouble. Because Love your neighbor. And if somebody spitefully uses you, turn the other cheek. If someone wants your coat, give them your cloak also. You see, there is no hatred. Judge not, lest ye be judged. All these interesting statements that are so contrary to normal human beings, you know. But they're really not contrary, because that's what life is made up of. That's what the world is made up of. Now, mother said no, and they didn't. What they did anywhere else, that's their own business. But one of our students was very strong into having relationships, and she had a relationship with a married man. And then she wondered why everything turned sour for her, why everything worked out so poorly for her. And it worked out poorly for her because whether she knew it or not, and I told her, whether she knew it or not, she was founded, grounded in these Christian virtues, which are virtues, I'm sure, of the Muslims, of the Hindus, of other races too, but I don't know all of their cultural requirements. But I'm sure that they respect family and home and traditions like that, you know, as much as anybody. And marriage, oh my God, when you start seeing the Greek marriage and the Hindu marriage, and I mean, they make a big fuss over these things because it's very precious to them. It's very precious. And you think that you are living in a world where you can go and violate those precious traditions and get away with it? You can't get away with it because it's your tradition. It's your tradition. Now, I will ask you a question. Are you divinely created?
Yes.
You all said yes. Are you divinely created?
Yes.
Are you divinely created?
Yes.
Can a divinely created being ever have a problem?
No.
Not quite so loud on that, but no. A divinely created being can never have a problem. The only time a divinely created being has a problem is when it denies its divinity. When it denies its divinity. Now, when you say, I have arthritis, you're denying your divinity. You're saying this body is little less than perfect. You're saying this body has problems. This body is ill. This body, I'm not taking good care of this body. What would you do if your little child had an illness? You'd go to your child and say, there, you're whole and perfect. All is okay now. All is okay. You don't go to the child and say, you got an illness. You're terrible. You're bad. You know. You say, all is okay. Well, say the same thing to your body. Tell your body it's okay. Tell your body it's beautiful. Tell your body it's divine. Tell your body it is whole and perfect. Tell your body you love your body. Don't say I love arthritis or I love wholeness. Just say I love my body. I love my body totally. I love everything about me. And when you're consistent with that, then all of those things that inharmonious or inconsistent cease to be. Because you have empowered them by your attention. Now, when you say I have arthritis, and then, oh, it's back again, or I got it again, or it's again, you're empowering it. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Now, in Camelot, that interesting story, the king condemned his wife to be burned to death, and because it was the rules of the government, and he was running the government, and he didn't want her to die because he loved her, even though she loved somebody else too. But he knew that some miracle was going to take place that's going to save his wife. Some miracle is going to take place that's going to allow her to live, because he didn't hate her. Something was going to happen, totally unrealistic, and it was. Lancelot had a way of coming back on the scene, having his servant open the door for him at the right time, at just the moment. I mean, you know, everything's so beautifully planned. And he comes charging in, and he wishes this way and wishes that way, and all the knights fall. And he killed most of the knights. Imagine that? I mean, my goodness sakes, what a fantastic story. I'm not approving of all the aspects of it, but I'm telling you, he saved Gwendolyn. Genevieve. He saved her. He slashed off the vines that tied her to the post while the fire was burning around her. He threw her on his horse, and the other people were trying to stop him. And he got on his horse and he rode out, and here he is wielding his sword, going out and saving her. And then he brought her to the king, as the king was getting ready to go fight a battle. And the king says, "No, I cannot forget. I cannot forgive this. I love you, and I know that there was nothing, but I know that your love was very strong, and you should have only loved me. You have no right to love anybody else." See, there's where the king was a little bit off. And so he let her go, never to be seen again. But you see, there's always a debt to be paid when you violate principle. Guinevere was married to King Arthur, right? And Guinevere said she would love him. And of course, you knew that she was a flaky lady anyhow, and she is kind of open-minded. But she fell in love with Lancelot, a man whom she really, just a short time before, was ready to kill him. But by very violent things. And she should have restrained herself from falling in love with somebody else. What if every person who got married fell in love with somebody else and left their marriage? I mean, that's what 50% of the people are doing. But the second marriage is no better than the first, because they have no principles. They have no values. So without values, our life is a useless, meaningless thing. And without values, we have many aches and pains. And we wonder where they come from. It comes because we don't believe in ourselves. We don't live our values. We don't stand up for who we are. Can you stand up for who you are? Can someone put a gun to your head and you say, "Whatever you must do," and not be frightened? Oh, you don't want to die, but not be frightened. Just realize, hey, if it's to be, but no way am I going to violate my principles just to save my life. No way. No way am I going to violate my principles just to have a good reputation. No way am I going to violate my principles just to get away with something, you know? Ever. My friend, Roger, he was on drugs, and he needed some money for drugs. And so he stole his wife's mother's television set and sold it for money for drugs. And so he had money for drugs. And then his wife's mother asked, "Where is my television set?" And so then he, because he's a man of great principle, really, he said to her, I stole it, and I sold it so I could buy some drugs." And she says, "You what?" And she put him in prison, you know. Now, that he confessed, she should have said, "Roger, let's get you some help. Let's get you some help. There's a good man inside there. There's a good man who, but you're letting the drugs manipulate you. Let's get him some help." But you see, the principle, Can you live up to the principle? Can you live in a happy, whole body at all times? And the answer is yes, if you believe in yourself, if you love yourself, and if you know who you are. Think about it. It's fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.